I am Kathy Bossert, interviewer for the Burnaby Mountain Oral History Project. Today is Wednesday, December 2nd, 2015. I am interviewing Lee Rankin at his home in Burnaby. Lee, you were born and raised in Vancouver. When did you come to Burnaby and what brought you here?
I moved to Burnaby in about 1976. My parents had relocated from East Vancouver to Burnaby, and I was finishing high school and getting out in the world, so I started renting places in Burnaby.
Ah. And when did you attend SFU?
I attended SFU in the mid-70s, from about 1973 to 1978, mid-70s.
So you started in 1973.
73, yes.
So is that when your parents moved to Burnaby?
No, they hadn't moved to Burnaby at that point, but okay. I started SFU in 1973.
Okay, and what was your major course of study?
I did a Bachelor Honors in English Literature.
Ah, and tell me what impressed you about the university. What did you like about the university?
What I loved about SFU was a number of things. They catered to older and mature students. I had been in the workforce 2 years before I started. They were the only university to operate on a semester system, so you could go through summer. You didn't have to take the summer off. It wasn't the traditional September to March.
Right.
They had evening courses because they had a lot of adult and mature learners, so it was much more flexible. And at the time, the faculty tended to treat students as adults. They treated them with dignity, and so I thoroughly enjoyed my time at SFU.
What impressed you about its site on Burnaby Mountain?
Well, the pluses, early on when I started, I had run track and field in high school, run track, and was a middle distance runner, so I ran track at SFU, and I joined the rugby club. So to stay in shape and maintain conditioning, I used to run the trails. And what we used to do, starting out from the gym, the changing rooms next to the big main field, the main playing field for football and soccer, we ran southeast through Nahino Park.
Okay.
And then it would hook into a sail system that circumvented the mountain. And I don't remember the exact order, but it was Nahino Park Trail, President's Trail, Moe's Trail, Joe's Trail, Mel's Trail, Centennial Trail. And it would loop around the mountain partway down and back through Centennial Park, which was part of the city park. And then you would cross the roadway and then back to the gym. And it was roughly a 6 mile or 10 kilometer run. Very difficult because it was lots of declines and elevations. And I would run that. And particularly when you got to the north side or even the east side of the mountain, you'd be lost in the forest. I mean, it was just beautiful and cool. And and of course, on beautiful days and in the summer, the the vantages from Burnaby Mountain are stunning.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1970s, of course, you looked out over the Lower Mainland and the air was thick with visible air pollution. Right? Sometimes you look into smog, which you don't get anymore thanks to decades of vehicle emission testing and reduction of industrial pollutants. But you would look up over thick smog right now, LA-style smog in the 70s. But so I liked SFU both from a human student point of view, and I liked its physical environments were second to none.
Yes. When you were running the trails, that in the 70s, that would have been before the east side of the of the Loop Road was in. Is that right?
Yes. And honestly, I haven't done it. I run Burnaby Lake, but I wonder now, like, can you still run and then have to cross the extension of Glardy Way or whatever it's called? Mm-hmm. Whether you have to cross that and then continue on the trails. I've actually wondered how you do that now that you have that massive loop road out that side, yes. Right? But you're right. There was no loop road. You go from the Aquino Park and then connect onto the next trail and then the next trail. So it was, Aquino, Mel's, Joe's, President's, and Centennial. And
yes.
They added up to about 10 kilometer or 6 miles, as I'm more familiar with.
Oh, that's
given
great.
Given my age.
Dr. Stevenson, president of SFU between 2000 and 2010, he wrote about despairing, and this is a quote, of the cold anonymity of an isolated campus on Burnaby Mountain. Did SFU and its campus feel that way to you?
And that was the downside.
Okay.
And that was the downside. Again, it was because it was based on American style universities, semester system, and the evening classes. I would take evening class if they suited. And at nighttime, on a day like this, November, December, January,
it's,
March,
it's gray and cold and
cold,
rainy.
And lifeless. All right. I mean, there was a student pub, obviously, in their cafeteria, but the only residences were Shell House, which was a mixed residence, Madge Hogarth, which was a woman's residence, and Louis Riel House, which was a family style. Those were the student residences, and there was a house for the president. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was dreary, despairing. In the winter, the architectural style, of course, is stunning. Arthur Erickson, stunning edifice, but the concrete, right? It was not cheerful. And summertime it was fine, but I absolutely agree with the sentiments. That is the downside, in particular if you're up in the evening, or for the people who live there, sometimes stay out there with friends. It just seems so isolated, so inhospitable. So, right. I used to say, I mean, I had friends who lived in residence, and I actually spent one summer in residence when a friend moved out and I sublet. And to get the simplest things, to get basic groceries, you had to drive or bus off the mountain. And the closest place to go was Kensington Plaza in North Burnaby. Just to get basic, you need a toothbrush, you needed, some milk and bread or whatever. Up, down to do the simplest things.
Mm-hmm.
So it was chosen apparently because some communities wanted BC's second public university, and the old story that you may have heard, and I have no idea if it's true or not, that Gordon Shrum had been chairman of BC Hydro, and he had his office in the penthouse of the big hydro edifice downtown Vancouver. And the story I heard was that he wanted, since he had been, I think, chancellor of UBC, I'm not sure, that he wanted to be able to see both his universities from his office at BC Hydro. And so SFU Burnaby Mountain would be visible on UBC from the top of the hydro. That's just a story.
Well, actually, I think Hugh Johnson mentioned that in his book, that Trump felt he could sit in the BC Hydro office and run both organizations from that office because he could see the top of Burnaby Mountain.
So like Sarah Powell, and I know about international affairs because I can see Russia from my... Somehow, anyway, that's, so you have a sight for that hoary old story. So, anyway, Reeve Emmett, Alan Emmett, who became Freeman Alan Emmett, and he was the last Reeve of Burnaby. Of course, they changed the name to Mayor, right? Mm-hmm. And he actually ran once on a platform of amalgamating Vancouver and Burnaby. which never happened, obviously, and Burnaby forgave him and elected him to city council, and you know, very fine, intelligent man, high school teacher, won the Distinguished Flying Cross, very smart man. Anyway, he, the city and I guess the province, or Gordon Shrum, if he was mandated to do that, donated or offered 1,000 acres to build the university on Burnaby Mountain. And that's where the history falls apart, and that's where Joan Curry's work may shed some light on. But
yes,
apparently the documentation is poor. But the university had the notion, the city had given the land to the university for university purposes, and I think it opened in 1965. That was it. This was given to the university. Thank you very much. The notion of the city was that this land would be transferred to the university to allow for the construction of the university and the access roads and whatever was necessary for the university, and the land superfluous to what was needed would be transferred back to the city.
Uh-huh.
And in the Curry document, I discussed this with her, like, there's no good documentation. I guess this is occurring late 50s, early 60s, early 60s probably.
Well, 63 is when the site was chosen, and
yes,
probably the land transferred then, yeah.
Yeah, and the documentation is poor. I mean, one would wish, like, I mean, I was on city council for 22 years. One is that there'd be a record, background, history, what was intended on both parties, so there would be no dispute. So, my interest in Simon Fraser University / Birnbaum goes to the fact I was an undergrad there from 73 to approximately 78. I never applied for my degree till 1985. So I'm, when you look, it says BA Honors 1985. I didn't actually complete my thesis till 1985, and then I went to law school and began working in the meantime.
I was going to ask you about that, that you decided to go into law and you attended UBC to get your degree. And so what years were that?
85 happened? To 88.
85 to 88.
And I was called to the bar in 1989.
Okay. Tell me what made you decide to go into law.
It was something I had thought about and been interested in doing. My original career idea was to do a BA Hons, an MA and PhD in literature, teach at university and write novels. But I deviated from that to yes, a large degree. It's funny how that happened. So I've practiced law since 1989.
And why did you come back to Burnaby to practice?
I practiced initially after I was called to the bar. I practiced in Burnaby for about 2 years with a small firm in Burnaby, and then I went downtown, and I was practicing law downtown from about 1991 to 2000 for almost 2 decades, right? And then,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so I had not always practiced in Burnaby.
Right. So what was it that made you go in, or that attracted you to the law?
You know, to me it was challenging, and I did, for the bulk of my career, for 15 to 18 years, I primarily did immigration and refugee law, right? So I found it very rewarding doing asylum law. I mean, it's very much in the news now, but I've done, helped asylum seekers from all over the world, from the Middle East, Africa, Asia, many conflicted parts of the world. I have worked in that area as well as other areas of law as well, right? And doing other aspects of immigration law.